Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has my friends given us a short life, a temporary life, and in this short life, after this will be the conclusion of this life. And if a person is successful through living this life, then after this life will be the eternal life, forever. Big rewards of Allah. There will be no difficulty, there will be no distress. And Allah Ta'ala has made big promises with regards to that life after death. And if the individual, the human being, is unsuccessful, then there will be big adab, punishments forever after. And we read about these in the ahadith and the Quran, and we hear about this from the respected scholars. But because we are in this dunya, and nafs and shaitan is with us, and we have the enjoyments of the world, the glow, the glitter, that prevent us from reaching to the good destination, the hereafter. The noble companions were present, radiallahu anhum, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, this is an ajeeb hadith, a unique hadith, and just a small part, that Rasulullah said, prepare for your protection. Very beneficial, listen carefully to this. So the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, they thought that maybe the Prophet ﷺ is telling us to prepare and protect ourselves from some certain enemy, specific person. So protection, safeguard, this is very precious in our lives even today. And the insan should do this. The human being should safeguard himself, protect himself. And we see, first of all, when we make a house, then before the house is made even, the security arrangements are made, doors are installed so that thieves cannot enter, locks are installed so that thieves cannot enter. If you buy a car, you install an alarm so that nobody breaks in. Everything in the world, when we pack our goods, and when we close the suitcase, we apply a padlock or a lock. So something's always rotating in the person's mind, that I don't want no thief or some bandit to come along and take my belongings. Some person who's opposed to me. And this is natural for the human being, instinct, fitratan. This is not some new concept. But the difference here is that a person protects that item or those things that he values. If there's no value for something in our eyes, we won't protect it, will we? Yeah, oh, it's alright if the thief takes it. What difference does it make? For example, there's a new car and there's an old car which is 20, 25 years old. And the owner of the new car, he will set the alarm when he locks it. And the owner of the old car says, you're not installing an alarm. He says, oh, forget the alarm. What's the point? What difference would it make if the thief takes it? Let him take it. It's an old car. Khair. And what's the point of installing alarm, all the cost associated with it for this old car? So there's no importance for the old item. If there's a new item, there's a lot of importance and emphasis placed on it. And this is our habit, natural instinct. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that protect, safeguard. So the Sahaba Ikram thought that maybe there's something dangerous that we need to protect ourselves from. What is that? Maybe there's some enemy against us. Who else can it be? So then they requested our Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are you saying that we should safeguard ourselves from the enemy? Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, No, there's a bigger enemy than that. Protect yourself from Jahannam, hellfire. Imagine. Jahannam, hellfire. The Sahaba Ikram were there. And today we have lives, don't we, my friends? Let's pay attention to this point, to this lesson, that protect and safeguard ourselves from hellfire. Okay. So why should we do that? Because this is the issue that's facing the human being. That if he doesn't safeguard himself, protect himself, then the human being will pick up a loss. Because what is the enemy behind Jahannam that we are being told to protect ourselves from? This enemy who wants us to go into Jahannam. There are two enemies that are pushing us towards hellfire: nafs-based desires and shaitan, the devil. And they make us do such actions, they make us be in such fitan, evil actions, that they keep on opening the doors of hellfire for us and inviting us to walk into them. Doesn't matter how much I try to save myself, it doesn't matter how much I try and the efforts I make, but alongside that, those doors are opened up continuously for the human being to enter into Jannah. Person works hard, tries, but if he doesn't protect what he's got, then most definitely Jahannam will come close to that person. I'll give you an example that we don't know about many sins. There's no importance about those sins in our eyes, but they're big sins, very big sins. One sin I'd like to tell you, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from that sin, because our center point, you could say focal point of lives today is around this sin, and very common today is this sin, very common. And what is that sin? That is to make a promise and then to break it. Make a promise and then to break it. And our whole life is based on promises, my friends. Our whole life. Ahad. To make a promise. And in our eyes, close to us, there's no value. This, we say, oh, he prays Salah, he's pious, and we give him titles. But we have to see here is that how much do we stick to the promises that we make? And we make many promises. The biggest promise today in our life, for example, we make with the wife, or the wife makes a promise with the husband. The husband promises that I am your protector, I'll protect you, I'll give you a home. There's a whole history here. And the wife, she makes a promise with the husband that she will stick by with him. So are we fulfilling our promises? How successful are we on the promises we make? There's a shopkeeper, a businessman, he makes a promise to the customer. He promises, you give me money and I'll give you a good item. How many people lie upon this? Look at this point. Let's take the promise between friends, promise of friendship, promise of business. In other words, on every footstep we have to make a promise or a commitment. And because we don't protect, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that because we don't protect and safeguard what we commit, then we waste. But this is a very great hadith, a hadith narrated in Mishkat. Waladina. Big statement. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that waladina. Liman? La'ahada lahu. That person is devoid of deen, that individual, that woman who does not fulfill his or her promise, who breaks the promises, that person has no deen, the deen is finished. Now tell me, what an important factor. To protect this, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that protect yourself from the fire of Jahannam. So save yourself from all of these things. There should be no external sin, no internal sin. Secure this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, instructed us. Okay, if your car is stolen, it will come again. If your house is burgled, the money will come back. But if you are taken to Jahannam, then how will you save yourself from Jahannam? What can save us from hellfire? Now, we don't look at the akhlaqi sins, the sins based on conduct. The hukum is that zahir and batin both should be protected. Both. Zahiri sins, we need to eliminate them, and the batini sins, they are very dangerous. Now, ahad, that to break the promises, this is related to the batin. Internal self, this is not a small thing. We say, oh, on the phone, yes, I'll do this for you, inshallah, your job will be done. And then he knows he's not going to do anything, he's just prayed salah, he thinks he's deendar, he's recited this much Quran. This whole Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, this has been not given for ibadah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah says that this whole Ramadan and the fast have been given for what? That you need to save yourself from sins. The Ramadan teaches us to protect ourselves from hellfire. Even if we do less ibadah, even if our ibadah is less, you don't have the courage or the strength. Some people don't have that determination or courage or capacity. No problem. But the real genuine objective of Ramadan's teaching is to save ourselves from sins. Look, if we fast all day long, and from morning till evening we fast, we can't recite Quran, okay, you can't pray nafil salah, you can't do too much adhkar and dhikr, but until the evening we have not committed any sins, alhamdulillah, the fast will be accepted. For example, if you have not done any external sin or internal sin, so the protection from hellfire is related to sins. But if, for example, I do ibadah all day long, I recite, I worship, mashallah, I recite Quran, and I do dhikr, adhkar, and we think that this has become our basis of success. But in parallel, I backbite, I lie, break the promise, and I don't protect the sins, myself from the sins, then what will happen? Eventually, when the day ends, then that fast is not successful, rather it will become a burden for me. And all I will have had is hunger and thirst, and nothing else will be attained. Nothing else. So my brothers, we need to think here that if I pay attention, that I need to pay more attention towards leaving the sins. Control the tongue, control the eyes. I need to improve my akhlaq, my conduct, and should have akhlaq in my home, akhlaq outside, akhlaq inside, in my batin. This is the shan, the glory of Imam. Imla deena, wala deena. There's no deen of that person who breaks the promise. I'm just coming. I'll just do this for you. Big, big promises a person makes and suddenly breaks them. You have to give the business over to someone. That's it. No, I'll give you the money on this date, but no money has come back. Yes, he's very religious. And he's bought tickets for Umrah, for Hajj. He's purchased tickets. But to Allah, Allah says there's no deen. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated there's no deen. The deen is ended. So promising is such a big action. Look, Allah Ta'ala is making us practice here. Practice to perfect our deen. And the Quran has said something even more elevated. The Allah Ta'ala said, with regards to those people who are trying to get close to Allah. Is this verse not in Surah Al-Imran? Allah Ta'ala said it clearly here. That why is that person without a deen? Because the person, the human being, the good human being, that we, for example, if we have one promise we have made with Allah, the first promise, the asal, the first promise, that is what will give us success, Allah Ta'ala says. So Allah Ta'ala says that I make those people my beloved. Those people are beloved for me. They are walis, they are the awliyala, they are the kutubs, they are the abdals. Who? Those people, Allah Ta'ala says, who promise to me something and they fulfill their promise. So what a big point here the Quran is telling us. Allah Ta'ala says that those men and women who promised me, then they are the asal. They are the salah. I won't see here anything else. Others, I will see that those who promise me what taqa, all life long they have protected their promise. Every breath they saw that I don't want to break this promise. I made from morning till evening. Their pastime, their occupation is that I made a promise to Allah. I don't want to break that promise that I made to Allah. I remember. Do we remember what promise we made to Allah? That we will eat halal or we'll have chickens. We made a promise to Allah. Direct. And when we made that promise, then we got iman and then we became mu'mins. What ayah is that? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So this was the promise that the insan who makes this promise, this contract with Allah, then he becomes the mu'min, the person with iman. And then on this promise, when a person implements life, Allah has given to life, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever life Allah has given to us, on this promise he is consistent and he observes this promise, then he departs from this world after succeeding. Allah says, this is the person who is my friend, my wali, my kutub, my abdal. That person, he fulfilled his promise and came back to me. So this is what we need to think about. What a big thing is a promise. That's what Allah says. There's no deen. How can that person say he's got deen without observing and implementing that promise? How can deen come into my life? Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. This is our deen. What's the promise we've made to Allah? That Allah, that your ahkamat that you've given to us, the orders that you've given to us, we will all our life long obey them, adhere to your orders through the Sharia and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the two promises. Yes, that Allah, there will be your orders, but it's not just that we are practicing and obeying your orders according to our desires. No, we have no permission to practice according to our desires. Rather, it will be according to the tariqah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that tariqah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we live our life according to his tariqah, his method, then that will become ibadah for us, worship. And that will be fulfilling the promise we made to you. And if we live our life according to that, not that I pray salah, and then I go and do what I want. Oh, it's only a small sin. What difference does it make? Then we do a good deed, and then we commit a sin again after that. Then this is opposing the verse. Wala deen, Allah Ta'ala says, this is not the deen that I require from you. So these are words that we need to make. We need to open our eyes and understand. We just sat here. But when this veil will be removed, then the reality of the situation will face us, my friends. So this Quran and Hadith, they come to remove the veils, to show clarity. Allah Ta'ala put this word, put this thought into my heart and mind today, and I recited this verse, and these veils are being removed, and this is becoming a hujjat for us, that this is a big point, that how successful are we on this basis, that how much are we fulfilling the promise with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How clearly Allah Ta'ala has told us. Allah Ta'ala said clearly that the person who doesn't fulfill the promise to me, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتُرُونَ بِأَهَدِهِ, that those people, that Allah Ta'ala said, that those people who said, well, Allah will follow your orders, your laws, and follow Sharia, what do those people do? Allah Ta'ala says that these people, with regards to the promise they made to me, they cancel it, they reject it. For what? For mal, for wealth, for dunya, due to their nafs and desires, they forget that we promised Allah, this is haram, we cannot make this halal. Oh, it's okay, it doesn't matter, it's okay, I can do this. Oh, I pray salah, so it's alright, isn't it? I do good deeds, don't I? So they'll think about their good deeds and forget the sin that they're about to commit. So Allah Ta'ala says that those people who break the promise made with me, the pact, they don't just break the promise, they sell it. They sell it for the sake of the world. Oh, it's okay, I have to buy this house, I'll take interest. What difference does it make? Oh, I'm struggling. It's selling. Allah Ta'ala says he sells his deen, his promise. He's scared of the world. Allah says, I'm just taking a test from that person. Yeah? If I put him in this test, and alhamdulillah, if he's steadfast, he says, no, this is not Allah Ta'ala's hukum. That I made a promise. Allah Ta'ala says, that person promised, Allah, whatever you made haram, I will accept as haram. Doesn't matter what happens, I will not move from that. Whatever instance comes in my life, okay, there's hunger, poverty, difficulty, isn't it? That's it. That's all there is to it. Life is just for a few days, Allah Ta'ala says. And what's the reward? Allah Ta'ala says, I will make that individual my beloved, who adheres to the principles. But the person who sins, look at the big punishment. Those people who break their promises, who come into the enjoyment of the world, and they sell the actions of the deen, Allah Ta'ala says, he sells my ahkamat, my orders. Then Allah says, we say, for example, we are doing great deeds, Allah Ta'ala says, pay attention to me, focus to me, ask from me. Don't break the promise you made with me. Whatever I've called haram, then if you brought iman on that promise, Allah Ta'ala says, don't break your promise. If you do this, there will be a big punishment for this, Allah Ta'ala says. Big punishment. So the first punishment, Allah mentions that in the hereafter with such a person. Look, a person who is iman, who Allah says, a person who breaks his promise to me, the person, and he comes to me, the first thing, he will have no part in the hereafter. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You'll have no part to play in the hereafter. He has not understood that Allah Ta'ala's ahkams and I'm leaving them. I accept some orders and I leave other orders. This is not breaking, fulfilling the promise. For example, I give you £100 as a loan, and you have to give the £100 back. You say, I won't give you £100 back, I'll give you £50 back. Then is this repaying the loan? Is this? No, I pray salah, but I can't leave this, I'm going to do this. I recite Quran, I do hifz of Quran, but I'm going to do these sins, I can't leave the sin. No, this is opposing Allah Ta'ala says the first, the biggest punishment in the hereafter. They'll have no part, no share in the hereafter, no abode in Jannah. After that, then will come the punishments that we can understand the severity. Allah says the biggest reward of Jannah. What is that? Allah Ta'ala says, I won't speak to that person. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala said, the biggest ni'mah, which will be Allah Ta'ala's discussion, dialogue with the people of Jannah, with the Jannah. Imagine what a great reward this is. Those who will fulfill their promise and they will have crushed their desires in the world. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. That when you go to a friend of Allah, a teacher, you don't go there to play games, do you? Okay, I'll wear good clothes and keep the beard and white clothes. You don't come for this reason. Yeah, we're not there as beggars, are we? Or as playing games. We go to the company of the Shaykh, the Wali Allah, is that we have made a promise with Allah and we want to be steadfast on that promise. We want that promise to, we want the Shaykh to be a guide for us. We want to hear his word so he can guide us and direct us in life. This is a big mercy of Allah. If Allah Ta'ala shows this path to an individual, and if we don't appreciate that, and we don't do qadr and appreciate dhikr, we don't appreciate the wali of Allah, and even then we stay the same as we were before, then imagine, think, what a big loss. And we've said this, that Allah Ta'ala says, I'm telling you the path to success. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqulla wa qulu ma'as-sadiqin. Allah says, to get good guidance, to fulfill your promise, the person who fulfills his promise to Allah is called a muttaqi in the Quran. So Allah says, those who fulfill the promise to Allah, says, if you want to get this properly, that you keep on fulfilling the promise you made to me, Allah says, I'll give you the tariqah, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, that go and find a nice, beloved friend of Allah who is pious and take his company and stick to his company, adhere to his company. So if Allah Ta'ala gives me sohbat, I go to the company of Wali Allah, and even then I sin, even then I do wrong, even then I do mistakes, even then I break the promises to Allah, then Allah says there will be a punishment upon a punishment upon punishment. For that person in the dunya, in the hereafter there will be no share. He will be given punishments. His children will be disobedient in front of him, that I gave you such a great asset. Allah says, you were deviated, you were off track, you were misguided. And Allah Ta'ala said, I sent you to my wali, to my friend. I took you to the doorstep of my wali, and even then you played games with the company of the Shaykh and you deceived. Allah Ta'ala says, then comes my wrath. Then comes my wrath. Allah Ta'ala says, that person then cries. He becomes wretched in the dunya, because Allah Ta'ala said, you didn't appreciate anything of mine. The objective that I sent you to my friend, I gave you dhikr and adhkar. This is something to think about, my friends. Allah Ta'ala, may He forgive us, because there's no guarantee of life, my friends. We should be try to save ourselves from these calamities. We should be so appreciative. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us. Allah sent us to His wali. We don't even value that. We thought, oh, going to the wali of Allah, just make your face right and keep the beard and the imama. I've become Naqshbandi, Qadiri, and that's it. I'm made. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Understand the objective, the maqsad. Understand the objective that Allah Ta'ala is saying, that I sent you for this reason. Qunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Wattaqullah tattaqoon. So that you become an individual who steadfastly adheres and observe the promise to Allah. Nothing in the world should deviate you when you're on the haq, on the right path. Nothing in the dunya should influence you. Say, no, this is the order of Allah. I will not break this, says the brother or the sister, the man or the woman, doesn't, whatever comes. Come what may. Because at one stage I will pass away from this world, and then I'll have to tackle thereafter. People say, if you do this today, you'll become tomorrow. If you do this, no one's watching. Yaar, who will know that your murshid, he doesn't know what you're doing wrong. It's okay. He hasn't got ilmul ghaib. Just do this action, see what happens after that. And then we go, oh, he won't know. Then we'll go and sit and bow our heads again in front of the Shaykh. I've come to attend the dhikr majlis. This is a majlis of tazkiyah, purification. That's why I'm speaking like to you with this in mind, this discussion, that we should think more of how we will succeed to get into the hereafter. We need to think more that what is this point? Allah Ta'ala says, we shouldn't do wrong and commit sins. So Allah Ta'ala says, how much punishment will there be? Is that in our life, we made our appearances, right, we went to the gathering of the Wali of Allah, we did dhikr, but Allah Ta'ala says, you'll have no share in the hereafter, no good about in the hereafter. And when the people, Jannatis, will be enjoying the kalam with Allah, the discussion with Allah, imagine the scene. The people in paradise will be listening to Allah Ta'ala's discussion, imagine the feeling, the kalam. Allah has given us a sketch in the Quran that that person will be devoid of that gathering. He could have got there very easily if he had fulfilled his promise made to him, but he got scared. He was scared of hunger, scared of poverty, scared of people's taunts, looking down at him. So he sold himself for the dunya. He gave himself over to the dunya, just like an immodest woman who sells a woman who sells a body for money. Immodest woman, same way that we become so, you can say, without shame, Allah's ahkams, Allah's laws, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, we sell straight away. We end the contract. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, waladina, how can that person have deen who breaks the promises? How can he have deen? The person who has no deen, then who will protect him? Allah? Allah, this life's a few days, roti, food, eat, drink, but the hereafter is forever. My friends, that house, that abode, how can people be there in Jannah who don't pray salah? Yes, if we see today, the person who doesn't pray salah in his home, the family members don't pray salah, then what will you see beyond that? That person who breaks the promise of Allah is just like that person. What's the point of, what love will there be between husband and wife and the children in that home? In that person's home, in that house, you see with your eyes that Allah Ta'ala's promises are being broken, this individual. Allah says that on the day of judgment, I will give severe punishments. I'll have no link with these people. No link. And the dunya, the people of the dunya will go to thereafter. They'll be immersed in paradise and enjoying. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm speaking to you. La yamduru. Allah Ta'ala says that I won't even look at that person who breaks his promises to me. That there in Jannah, people of Jannah will be enjoying the sight of Allah, the discussions, just like in the world we see, oh, this building's come, this money's come, these children have come. And we enjoy these things, don't we? Buildings, assets, children. So in Jannah, what will be the enjoyment of Subhanallah? Speaking to Allah, looking at Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat, and looking at those directly. Ajeeb seen, Allah Ta'ala says that even this will not come for those people. Wala yuzakihim. Allah says, what purification will there be? Nobody can mention the heights of purification. Now when a person is pure, batini, that for example, Allah Ta'ala's deen comes into the heart and the effect of the company of the wali, the marifa comes into the heart. So how will that person be pak and pure? So pak that he will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. And this will be given on what? If today we fulfill our promise to Allah. Don't sell yourself. Don't sell yourself for the dunya. Don't sell yourself for temporary gain. And I swear by Allah, and I say this, that in this difficulty, which is, if this is very difficult for us, we sell ourselves. Allah Ta'ala says that don't sell the promises you made to me for the sake of your nafs and shaitan. Just wait a few days and inshallah I myself will purchase you. I will purchase your deeds, I will accept your deeds, and I will make your difficulties go far away. Just for a few days, there's a little bit of test, Allah says, but don't sell yourself. Do not sell yourself, Allah Ta'ala says. Don't give yourself over. Don't follow your nafs. Don't lower your price tag. Don't put a value on the Sharia and the law and the way of life that is the best of life, way of life for you. That, for example, a person won't be able to see Allah, will not go to Jannah, not be able to benefit from the deen. Allah will not look at that person, speak to that person. He will have adabun alim, walahum adabun alim. Allah says all the things of the world will disappear, and that individual who didn't remember Allah, he won't be just adabu shadid. Allah says adabun alim. Allahu Akbar. There are sketches here that either we break the promises, or we become those people who fulfill the promise that we should fulfill the promises we made to the people in the world. If we fulfill the promises we made to people in the world, then most definitely, how will that person break the promise to Allah? Promise to yourself. And this is what Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us in the hadith. Why do we break promises? Why? We recite, we do dhikr, we remember Allah, but we break the promises. Why do we so quickly cancel and reject the orders of Allah? Why? Because we have no security and the enemy buys our deen from us. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, protect yourself, prepare yourself to protect yourself from these enemies of shaitan and nafs. And we need to prepare our protection, otherwise we'll be sold. We will sell ourselves. We will break the promises we made. We are weak, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah Ta'ala says that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that if you prepare, then you'll have the security and you'll be saved. What is that preparation that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us? That He's directing us, that He's preparing for us to be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Can there be anything greater than this? These are the words of the Quran, the words of the Hadith. And nor do we want security for ourselves, we don't want to safeguard our deen, we don't want to adhere to these verses and we speak nonsense, I want to get Jannah, I want to become a Wali Allah, I want to become this and that. This is deception. This is delusion. That if you sit in front of a Wali of Allah, then you should regularly look at the sketch of your life, the what's inside me, what do I do, what's not there that should be there. Self-deceit is what we do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that in Urdu we call this nafs parasti, you could say. Yes, is to deceive yourself. Can the human being be like this? Who deceives himself that Jahannam, we say, no, this is paradise. And we say that, no, this is not hellfire, this is a first class abode, I'll enjoy it there. And we carry on sinning openly. Look at the law, the principle. Not 1 second of our life, not one day, second, month, hour should be against the promise we made to Allah. So we need to turn back to the hayat tayyiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah sallam, how did you implement this action? What is your hukum, your order with regards to this action? For everything there's an order. Everything Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us and ordered us. There's no deed that He left without a reason. That's why Allah Ta'ala said, lakum deenukum akmaltu. Allah says that I completed your deen today. Akmal. Completed your deen. Allah says that I give you total deen. Then after that, such ulama, respectful scholars, honorable scholars came to the world, such arifin, that they, mashallah, dissected and learnt and disseminated the deen so greatly that nothing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deen is hidden. There cannot be that we make an excuse to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we didn't know. But there's just one thing we don't have, which we are lacking. Wallahi. One thing we're lacking. And if we do that, we can secure ourselves, we can protect ourselves, we can safeguard ourselves. Look, we have Iman, we have La ilaha illallah, we understand and we know. But what do? We don't protect ourselves from that enemy, avowed enemy who's destroyed us. And who is that? Who is preventing us to reach to Jannah? For this reason, because we don't have security. So for example, we can secure that we place the lock. If he doesn't go in and makes us run away, then alhamdulillah, we are people of Iman. We'll be people with Iman. Subhanallah. So the promise to Allah will not break. Because I cannot steal. For example, that Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us to safeguard ourselves from the thief. This is the reality. Because these things will send somebody to Jahannam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm not speaking about the physical human being. I'm speaking about something else. I'm talking about the real enemy. That prepare yourselves, safeguard yourselves, so that you are saved from Jahannam. Subhanallah. That don't do the actions of Jahannam. The how? How can we not do this? These are enjoyable actions, we say. So tell me, what can we do? If we do this, that will safeguard us from doing wrong. If we know this, then what will we do, inshallah? But even though we know, we still leave. Oh, we make excuses. I'm trying to do it. Half came, full came. We carry on. I don't have time. I don't feel like doing this. Or tell me something else to do. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that I will tell you the method of protecting your deen, safeguarding your deen. Great point. What did Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? That yes, protect your iman. What is the protection method? Do the dhikr of Allah. That's why we are here. Yes, this is not a game. What should we do? Do the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata. And all of this, Rasulullah has told us. So these are the locks for us. These will protect our iman. Nobody will be able to buy our iman if we continue to do the dhikr of Allah. Guaranteed, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, rather he stated that when you do the dhikr of Allah, then what will happen is that these kalimat, they will drag you into heaven and they will start to protect all of your other deeds that you committed and make them accepted. Every second when you do dhikr, then you are going towards Jannah. Jannah. You're doing dhikr, subhanallah. Then you'll go further, higher in Jannah. Then after that, 30, 45 minutes later, you do some more dhikr, you go higher in Jannah. Then you do dhikr again, you'll go higher in Jannah. Paradise. To this extent that when the maut will come, then that person will already be in paradise. Because of the work he's done, because the car was moving, the vehicle was moving. This is the hadith. And this is what the walis of Allah tell us, do the dhikr of Allah, do it in abundance. That's what the Quran tells us, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Do dhikr, Allah has prepared that inshallah nafs and shaitan, they will lose out your iman. So your iman of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, in which you have made a promise, the shaitan and nafs will not be able to enter into that contract or interfere. For this, if Allah Ta'ala sends us to a wali of Allah, learn a tariqah from him, whatever tariqah method he gives to you, become consistent, regular in that, follow the principles that the shaykh gives, the teacher gives. Once you take the admission into a class, then it's ongoing. Abu Hazrat used to say that this is not the relationship one or two days. This will be a relationship that will take you into the grave. Because 1 second, if for example, you break your connection with the shaykh 1 second before, then shaitan will try to rob you. He will take all of the benefit, that iman you took 80 years to condition. And shaitan is shaitan, he will be sat at your side until the last moment. I would say that don't recite the kalima. So it's stated that when a person is departed from this world, then in front of him, what should he do? What should we do? Recite the kalima in front of that person so that the kalima becomes moist on that person's tongue. This time will come, my friends, mine and yours is about to come soon. Let me tell you this. So every day we go and follow janazas, pray janazas, salahs, we see how many people passing away. Today's preparation will benefit us tomorrow. Tomorrow, am I right or am I wrong? You know what I'm saying? So this is dhikr of Allah. So great personality, Alog bin Imam al-Anbiya, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling his companions that listen, this generation is such, Allahu Akbar, that generation was the generation of the Sahaba, and this generation is full of thieves on every footstep, fitna, evil, fitna in our pockets. There's fitna in our pockets, sat in our pockets. Yes, and only one thing can save us from this. That is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Doesn't matter how we are as human beings, in what condition we're in, but start doing the dhikr of Allah and we'll be fine. You'll be fine. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and to all of you as well, that we become regular in dhikr of Allah, and however much has been prescribed to us, we do it in the morning and in the evening. And your shaykh has told you the tariqah, do dhikr according to that tariqah. Those who have not learnt, seek a wali Allah and request that please teach me dhikr so that I can start to recite. Inshallah, this is the promise of the Prophet ﷺ. Such a person, when he takes bigger strides, then his conclusion, alhamdulillah, is that he'll depart this world whilst reciting the kalima with the fadl of Allah. Don't look at the sins. Look at Allah's mercy. Look at the mercy of Allah. And that is greater. But pay attention to rahmah. Not that Allah is ghafoorur raheem. Everybody knows that Allah Ta'ala is ghafoorur raheem. If Allah wants, He can, whatever person, whoever there is in the world, He can send everyone into paradise. Because Allah Ta'ala is qadir, He has no principle that no, this person will, He made this agreement, He didn't accept, etc. That for example, Allah Ta'ala could take all the mu'mineen and throw them into hellfire. There's no principle. And take all the people who are not mu'mineen and bring them into Jannah. So this is the soul of Allah, those are souls, those are principles. Allah Ta'ala says, pay attention to my rahmah and see how my rahmah will run to you, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. That if you come one footstep, Allah Ta'ala says, come at least one footstep, make the initiation, take all of the tasbih once, just take the tasbih, subhanallah. If you grab hold of the tasbih, then Allah will make you recite and He will make you use the tasbih. Yes, but if we don't take the tasbih, then we cannot say, Allah says, take the tasbih and then I'll make you use the tasbih. So at least move your hands and feet, and the rest I will make you do. I will make your heart, I will bring the love into your heart, and I will improve your destiny, make your destiny. If you are 10 times you recite today, tomorrow you will say 100, after that you will say 500 times. But why are you leaving these actions, Allah Ta'ala says? Why are you leaving these actions? Yeah, just like when we sit in the car, alhamdulillah, and the person when he sits on the seat, then, for example, he feels like he wants to obviously drive the car if he sat nice on the seat. Allah Ta'ala says that if you come one stride, one footstep to me, yeah, Allah Ta'ala says come one handspan, Allah says I'll come more than that. But we don't come towards Allah. It's too hard, that is hard, this is difficult, it's hard to read Quran, it's hard to do this and that. Imagine, somebody says I will recite 2 lines of Quran Talawat. I can't recite more than that in the day. That then he goes beyond that. I will recite a bit more than 3 lines, I will recite. Then I swear by Allah, you'll recite 3 lines, you'll become that person, as if that person is completing the whole Quran. You'll become so habitual and regular that you'll increase. Yes, in old age I've seen people do hifz of Quran. It's not just that children do hifz of Quran. People who are doing hifz of Quran, it's an old age. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has said that if you come one footstep, then two footsteps I'll come. So if I pick up the Quran and start, alhamdulillah, you've become a hafidh. You've become the hafidh. But shaitan has made us scared because we have not protected ourselves. When a person does the dhikr of Allah, then he becomes mazboot. He becomes solid. And if you do dhikr and kathira, high quantity, high in abundance. Yes, for this, that for example, in such a place we go to, there are a lot of thieves there. So many thieves that they take the money from your pocket blatantly. So many thieves that they don't leave you. And then will you protect their money more? Instead of three padlocks, one padlock, you put three padlocks. If you buy a shop in an area with a lot of thieves, then you'll put a shutter, a lock, camera system, security system. You'll protect it more. So today there are many thieves out there to steal our iman. So many thieves of iman that we are in desperate need of a lock. In other words, we are in desperate need of dhikr and kathira that we cannot imagine. We need to do dhikr in abundance. That when you go shopping, do dhikr. When you come back, do dhikr. Man, woman, always on your tongue. Allah, Allah, Allah. How easy it is. So easy. So simple and so beloved name of Allah. There's no more beloved name than this in the world. Allah. Yes, there's no more beautiful, haseen and easy name than this in the world, is there? No, there isn't. So inshallah, try, make an effort and strive towards the dhikr of Allah. Now we'll do dhikr for a little while, inshallah. Recite Durood Sharif.